Welcome back, WNST, Taos of Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively no longer in the studio. Man, I got food. I got ham, crab cakes. I got stuffed crab cakes and shrimp. I got kielbasa and sauerkraut. That's the holidays. Also got some Maryland Lottery scratch-offs giveaway. I got a double dose of my gingerbread, oh snap, purple lucky tickets I've been giving away here. We're at the Wise Markets in Honeygo. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Peppermint payouts, as well as the Unwrap the Cash. Our friends at the Window Nation have asked me to wear the flattering floppy hat. 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 0% financing for the next 5 years. And our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. My little oil light is on right now. I swear I'm getting my oil change for the holidays. We're at Wise Markets. We had Tom Kelso here for a little while talking Maryland Stadium Authority. John Martin's going to be here. He's the one that gives us these lottery tickets to give away for all of our winners and put the crab cake tour on the road. Been with Wise Markets a number of years now. We had the Crab Cake Tour stop down at the, I guess it's number 206 or 204 down at Fullerton. Which number is that?
206.
206. Yep. Pretty good. That's pretty good.
You're getting the numbers
out. What number am I here? What does Honey go? What is this?
180.
180. Derek Frazier is the manager here of 180. Yes. We're in Honey go, which isn't really Perry Hall. It isn't really White Marsh. It's certainly not Fullerton. It's not Nottingham. What is it?
It has 100 different names. You know, you look it up.
If you go to the post office, is it Nottingham or does it say Honeygo on it?
It says Perry Hall.
It says Perry Hall.
All right.
Yes, that's where the confusion is sometimes, you know, with customers calling up and getting the wrong store because there could be several different stores around this area that's called Perry Hall.
Well, I'll go through this whole farm when I lived out here and my kid went to Perry Hall 20 years ago. But Derek is the manager here. John Sidway is also here. Don't hold it against him. He's from Las Vegas. He ain't from around here. This guy here worked for Mars.
Correct.
He's a real Dundalk guy.
Yes.
Not really. Patapsco side. That's not really Dundalk. That's the Patapsco side on the Gray Manor side. Yeah. But also a former professional wrestler. People thought I had Hulk Hogan on this week. I said I'm having a former professional
not
wrestler.
Not me.
I said Ric Flair was unavailable. But I'm sure you've done the Nate walk, right?
Oh, a couple times. Plenty of times after hitting a chop or two, and the crowd goes woo.
So Jamie sends me to you, Jamie Inoski. Hi, Jamie. Happy holidays. She's been on the program many times. We've had many wise conversations around here about all sorts of things. And she says, I'm going to give you Derek's number up at Honeygo. You know, he wrestled. And I'm like, I bet we know a million of the same people.
Right.
And then you're like, hey, dude, I'm from Dundalk. I know who you are. And I'm like, well, this is going to be a good segment. So Derek is here. We're celebrating the holidays. And you guys have been great. I mean, you hung keep these away from the cat. The cat in the
yes.
Poinsettia is no good. But I got poinsettias here. We got ham. I got apple cider. I got all sorts of Santa hats and Santa stocking stuffers. Make sure if you're stuffing your stocking with these, they're 18 years old. That's a public service announcement that John's going to give us here a little later on.
Right.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law broke that rule in New Hampshire 30 years ago, and we're still... She probably should still be in jail, but that's okay.
She's out.
She's out. They let her out. For your store and for Wise, this is literally the most wonderful time of the year, right?
I mean,
other than a Ravens game day, and this is your Super Bowl, right?
Going down in the last 2 weeks of the year of December, it is our Super Bowl. This is where we strive to be the best and give the best, you know, service to our customers and keep pushing. This is where the climax, the big, like, WrestleMania, you would say, if you go to a wrestle, you know, term, this is it. This is where it all goes, and then January 1st, it starts all over again.
Look, the hell with these crab cakes. I'll worry about that later on on the crab cake tour. I have crab cakes anytime on the crab cake tour.
That's what the tour's
but
called.
But only one time a year does this come, okay? This is Ostrowski's Kielbasa.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only get that here. You can only get that in Baltimore. You can
yes.
only get that in Maryland. If you're from East Baltimore, you know. I'm giving a shout-out right now. Stan Gibson, I know you're out there. Stan is Stan Stock. Have you heard of Stan Stock, the music festival?
Yes.
Stan is Stan Gibson of Stan Stock. Stan's parents were like parents to me. They were my parents' best friends, and they lived in the other block of Bank Street. And when I was a little boy in the 70s, I would go up and see Mr. Sam and Miss Gert. I was at Gertrude's over at the BMA. Miss Gert Gibson. Used to make, Gert never made this.
Right.
This was Sam. This was a man's job to work
right.
that crock pot, you know what
yes.
I mean?
Yeah.
And get this together. But Ostrowski's, This is the mild Polish kielbasa. I have learned to like the spicy, even though spicy doesn't mean hot. It means like more spice.
More flavor, yeah.
More just flavor. More flavor, too.
In their vernacular. And this is going to be my first piece of Christmas kielbasa of the year. And Derek and John are here. Thanks for making this, John.
Yeah,
I appreciate this, man.
Yeah.
Now, you don't get this in Vegas. Have you had kielbasa and sauerkraut?
Since I moved here, yeah.
Man. Did you do this in Dundalk, or are you not Polish enough?
I'm not Polish enough, but we did do it as a family thing.
You can't beat kielbasa and sauerkraut.
No, it's a tradition here in Baltimore, you know, to do sauerkraut and kielbasa, you know.
What time is it? 2 o'clock. By 6 o'clock, I'll be flatulent, but I'm going to love every minute of it. And we're here. So, for you guys at Christmas time, I'm a Wise Rewards guy, right?
Yes.
And we're going to do wrestling. We're going to do all that. We're going to talk some Raven. But just for people to come here, I'm a Wise Rewards member, and I do it with my phone number. I'm blown away by just shopping. And my wife sends me out. I drink. And I'm going to plug my coconut water, people, here, because I don't. Your store has this. This is my favorite item. It's not cheap. It's fantastic.
Yes, it's healthy for you.
One of the reasons my skin's good. One of the reasons I'm hydrated when I do all my hot yoga. You're an athlete. You know, you wrestle, man. You know, you sweat, right?
You do.
This stuff's great.
Rehydrates you. Keeps you, you know, your bodies and your protein in your body keep you going.
Every Wise is a little different. Like, I come in here, this is huge Wise, right?
Yes.
And the Fullerton store is big. It was an old Kmart down there.
Yes.
For Wise to come into this market, the one that I always knew was the one right here in Perry Hall at it was Seven Corners, Seven Courts, whatever that is.
Seven Courts.
Seven Courts, right? I had friends that lived in that neighborhood, and I lived on the other side of Perry Hall. And we didn't even know how to say it. We called it Wise. I just didn't know there were no other Wise markets around.
Correct.
And really, in the last 15 years, and I know you like to speak of Vito at Mars, and I've spoken so.
Yes.
I mean, I knew Vito, I knew Mars. Mars a Dundalk company. Wise has really picked up that arm of being a local.
Yes.
Out of Sunbury, I've been to the ice cream factory and all that. But when I come in and I see a Squire's Pizza, or I see a Pizza John's, or I see a Fisher's Popcorn, or I see Otterbein cookies, or local Ostrowski sausage.
Yes.
Cookies. Nobody does local the way you guys really try to do that. And that really speaks to having guys from Dundalk who wrestled all over the world be managers. But a lot of the managers here are local people. Many came from that Mars family. And even if you didn't come from the Mars side, the Wise philosophy for how East Baltimore gets its King syrup and you know, things that are East Baltimore things like this is what makes the holidays.
It is.
If I'm in Vegas, I can't get this, and I'd be shipping it, dude.
They're not doing it. Yeah, you got to get it shipped. Yeah, I don't know if Ostrowski's going to go that far, though.
But locals, I don't say it's hard to do, but it's not something everybody does, and I think it's a different delivery mechanism, all of that. But I come in and I see this kielbasa that I know is being made by hand.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is artisan kielbasa being made right over in East Baltimore on Bank Street.
Right, and it comes straight from them, delivered here to the stores, to every store that's in this district on the side of Maryland, you know, that have it. And some PA stores carry it, too. Just, you know, we have another local company we partner with. Is BTI Chips.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we get the BTIs.
They are.
What's that?
Bill's Terracin crab chips.
Oh, Bill's Terracin has crab chips?
Yes.
I did not know this.
And they were the Ravens.
They're the Ravens and the Baltimore Orioles.
You know, I'm
chips.
From Dundalk. They're from Essex. That's why I don't know about it. That's why I don't know about it. That's probably what it is, right?
When I first moved here, I moved right next to the original Bill's Terracin. I lived there. So I've been there a lot of times. So.
Well, you know, you got to come across the bridge, see how we do it. Over. You know, the smells from the Essex side. I'm just going to say.
Yes.
I claim that every time I go to Costas.
All right.
That's the people on Essex's side, not the Dundalk side of things, but we have fun with local, and you're as local as it gets, right? So you were a professional wrestler. Did you know he wrestled?
Yeah.
People come in here and know you from wrestling?
Some people. I try not to talk about it
Well, you do
as much.
Clean up nice.
I try. You
look managerial.
I have to be professional when I'm here, you know.
So give me the wrestling background, because we're going to get after it. I'm going to eat kielbasa.
What would you like to know? When I started training?
How and why?
Grew up just like any other kid, like professional wrestling. And actually, when I worked at one of the, you know, original Mars stores back in the day, there was a guy that was there actually training. I was 19 years old, And I was like, oh, I'll go check it out and see where you're training at down in Essex, off back river.
So you didn't wrestle in high school or anything like that?
No.
See, I wrestled in high school.
I played baseball and soccer in high school.
Okay, all right, good enough.
You know, always liked wrestling. My friends, we would always watch wrestling. We watched the pay-per-views and all that. It was always interesting, but it was always – I wasn't a big guy. I'm not a big guy still. I'm 185 pounds. But back then, at 19 years old, I was like – 145, and you see these guys that are in WWF at the time that was called in WCW back then.
Well, they
then.
Were all blown up.
Right.
That was the Cesarean era.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, they're all jacked up, and I look like this, you know, little guy. So then I go to the tryout, and it was free, and it's like, man, I fell in love. It was like instant.
Well, as a smaller guy, you probably were a little more aerial, right? You could move around a little bit?
Yeah, he was the Rey Mysterio.
Yes, I was the Rey Mysterio back in, you know, 99, you know, when I started wrestling, like, in Maryland at the time, you had all these big guys that didn't do all the high flying. You know, right. I did all the flips and acrobats, and I would practice.
Well, WWE was going with that lightweight division at that time, right? They had a really exciting champion, right?
They did once they bought WCW back in the day. You know, growing up, you know, I used to watch ECW based out of South Philadelphia. You know, you had great people that came out of there and just talents that moved on, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Eddie Guerrero, you know, Rey Mysterio.
Oh, I love Rey Mysterio.
They were the guys that, like, idolized, that did something different than you would see the big guys in WWF or WWE, I should say,
sure.
Now.
And well, they had baseball bat matches in ECW. I mean, so yes. ECW, so my background in wrestling is this. Mid-70s, my Bruno was a champ. Mm-hmm. My mom loved Bruno. 1977, my first match was Stan the Man Stasiak with the heart punch against Bruno.
Down at Civic Center?
Civic Center in March of 1977. And then the next month, superstar Billy Graham and Bruno were wrestling for the belt, August 30th, 1977. And it was the second wrestling match I had ever been to. I wanted to go see the Valiant Brothers,
right.
But they were kind of gone by then. Executioners were kind of gone at that point, but Bruno was, you know, forever, right?
Right.
It was just the bad guys coming in, different bad guys coming in every month. Well, it was George Steele in the summer, whatnot. But I was at the match when Billy Graham had his feet on the rope the night that Bruno lost the belt. I still had my program from that night, and I was hooked, right?
Right.
So Drug City's a longtime sponsor of mine. I don't need to tell you where Drug City is. I mean, people outside of Dundalk don't know. Funny name, but go to Drug City. They got everything. Everything
crazy
got wise,
stuff.
But even more stuff. They got stuff. Drug City. But I used to get my baseball cards and my wrestling magazines.
From there.
Because Drug City would get the wrestling magazines.
Yes.
And also up in Highland Town, they would get wrestling magazines up there as well. I want to fix my levels. I didn't like my level. So in the 70s, wrestling came once a month. It was at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon at 11 on Channel 20 when they went to the Capitol Center. And you got 2 hours of wrestling a week as a kid on Saturday only. And the matches came every 4 to 6 weeks. They come to the arena. My parents, we get fried chicken and get on a number 10 bus and we get down to Civic Center. Bob Backlund, you know, all that cheap J. Strong. Well, Flair, no. Flair
wasn't there.
So what year were you born?
I was born in 80. So I'm 43.
Oh, these kids. Oh, the babies.
I'm not going to tell you when
the babies.
I was born.
Right. So I'll give you the whole lowdown here once I get my levels together. I want to make sure I get that right. So we got fans out here giving you the rabbit ears.
Right.
You know, we're doing this publicly at Wise Markets and Honeygill.
Yes.
So in the early 80s, cable TV came, okay?
All right.
So all we had, and Kevin Eck was my best friend growing up. Kevin Eck's a legendary wrestling historian, right? So Kevin and I grew up, we were best friends in the whole world. I was best man at his wedding. So in the early 80s, we were the kids in Hollabird Middle that love wrestling. And we would get the magazines first. And there was a whole contingent of people that loved wrestling and went to the wrestling matches. But cable TV happened. And that expanded our wrestling abilities because Georgia Championship Wrestling came in on TBS. So this is 81, 82, 83. Georgia with Gordon Solie came in. And that's had some NWA, but Harley Race wasn't there every week because the NWA was such a big area. I mean, they wrestled in Texas, Missouri,
Georgia.
Throughout the whole South and the Midwest, really, the NWA. So Georgia Championship Wrestling had its own thing, and it was awesome. It was live. It was 2 hours. They would take it out into the street and into the bay. It had all this backstage part of wrestling that
the WWE was just
never showing.
Bad matches in Allentown, yes. You know, against the Bum. 20 minutes after, McMahon would hold his nose and George Steele would do something crazy.
Right.
Or the Grand Wizard or Lou Albano would come. But it was... So wrestling opened up with Georgia Championship Wrestling, and that happened. They decided to get feisty, right? Like you supermarkets all fight with each other over price and placement and all that stuff. So they brought the matches to the arena, and the NWA came in, and Ric Flair came in. Georgia Championship Wrestling came as a novelty to the arena once cable TV came, and Kevin and I had first row tickets.
That's awesome.
So we're talking like Tommy Rich, we're talking Ric Flair, Ronnie Garvin, Wildfire Tommy Rich. I'm trying to think of the Ole Anderson, beginning of like Junkyard Dog and like all those kind of. So 84, 3, 4, 5, that happened. Same time, Hulk Hogan happened, Cyndi Lauper happened. MTV happened, right?
Everything exploded.
Thunder Lips, and I mean, you're so young, you don't remember when Rocky III came out in summer 83, 84, Eye of the Tiger, wrestling became like cool, like hip, you know? Saturday night, NBC, the whole deal.
What was it, Main Event or something?
Main Event,
yeah,
correct.
I remember that.
So all that happened, and I don't know, I think the last time I really cared about wrestling was when Hulk Hogan beat the Iron Sheik. So we're going back 40 years.
Yeah.
So for the last 40 years of my life, it's been more of a novelty.
Right.
I've done radio shows. Kevin Eck and the great late, great Axel Rotten.
Yes.
Brian would come into my studio. Sometimes he was sober. And and he would be all battered up and bloody, and he would bring in his bat with the barbed wire
correct.
On it from Philadelphia.
From
like,
ECW
this
when
is
he was
in the late
them.
90s, yes. right? So Luke Jones loves wrestling. Dennis Colazzo's loves wrestling. Like, I had people in my life that are still six nights, seven nights a week. They all the background, all that stuff. You know, Stacy Keebler was
yes.
my intern
yes.
at WNST.
Till she
when
signed with
when
the
she filled out the card to be a Nitro girl, she read that card in my studio on my airwaves on WNSG.
Wow.
And she's like, I'm a cheerleader from the Ravens. Her boyfriend was a listener, and she became an intern.
Right.
And she was a dancer at Taos, and she's like, I'm going to try to be a Nitro girl, be a wrestler. And look at how that worked out for her, right? Yeah.
She had a great career.
The Baltimore wrestling pipeline and everything about Baltimore as a wrestling town.
Yes.
Whether you're Ric Flair, Bob Backlund, the late, great Bruno Sammartino, Baltimore's like a real wrestling town.
Oh, yeah, there's...
And has always been... You know, AEW goes into business. One of the first things they need to do is book a Baltimore date because it's going to sell here. This was always a marked
yes.
town.
And it's funny you say that because Dan McDevitt, the owner of MCW here in Maryland, does do things with them because he's an agent for them for matches when they do come local. And what that means, he put matches together. So if me and you are having a match, we go over our match. What's going to happen? He gives the yes or no. He has to get it checked off, clarified if it can be on TV.
Timekeeper at the bell.
Yep.
Dan, I've known Dan forever as well. Dan's been in my home. When my wife was battling cancer the first time, my wife was really sick. She was bald, kind of falling apart, weighed about 85 pounds. And Jim Ross was in town. Mm-hmm. And promoting with one of his... He was doing... he did a storytelling night, right? JR, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And he brought him to my house when my wife was sick. And JR sat on my couch for 2.5 hours
wow.
regaling me with stories of the legends, you know?
It's crazy.
And there's like a larger-than-life part of wrestling that I love. That I love the larger-than-life
right.
part. And I love that The Rock has become... Who's been on my show a couple times... Just a part of American culture, right?
Yes.
I mean, and I see John Cena's on,
yep.
he's on TV shows in the morning.
He's in the
I
movies.
Mean, wrestling is way larger than wrestling.
Yes, it's way larger than it used to be back in the mid '80s. These guys doing great charity work, and you know, Jimmy Seafood, another local company. Mm-hmm. You know, we carry some of their stuff here. Partners with the WWE when they come into town. You know, Roman Reigns, one of their biggest stars. You know, just battles, you know, cancer and got over it, leukemia and all that. You know, he gives back to the community as doing the Make-A-Wish Foundation for children too, you know.
Well, you've been doing this for a long time. What made being a wrestler fun for you? pride to children's faces and going out there, you know, being a good guy, you know, slapping hands, but being a bad guy is even funner because you make a lot of people mad. But after,
you were a bad guy.
Yeah, not in Maryland. Maryland, I was a good guy.
You're babyface.
I was babyface in Maryland. Anytime I tried to be.
John's
it.
Laughing about yeah. all. You never saw him wrestle. You see it on video, though.
I've
right?
seen it on video.
Oh, yeah. I Googled you. I saw you wrestling on video.
I prefer the heel. I like it when he was the heel.
You like heel heat?
Yeah. Oh, I love it because you ain't got to do nothing. I can go out there and do dumb stuff, and the people would boo me because the first interaction, if they don't know you, is to boo that person. Yep. That's just negativity, how the world we live in. So it's easier just to do that, and then you go out there and do even less and make the baby face look good. I just did my job being out there.
You want to get some heat. That's all you got to do.
That's all you got to do. And then you could, in reality, if you do have real frustrations in life, you can take the heat that you're getting and use your real frustrations to even up your character even more to make people even hate you even more.
My cousin Jason Wilson wrestled in Dundalk. Did you know Jason? No? You knew Axel, though.
I knew Axel.
Yeah, I mean, Axel was the most famous of all of the wrestlers of that era from here. And honestly, famously had some, you know, off-the-field issues and whatnot.
Yes,
but he was also a guy that sold it.
He
sold wrestling.
He had a great heart.
He believed in wrestling. He loved wrestling.
Yes, and there's other people that came through, like Mickie James, that she's been in WWE. She, you know, I worked with her years ago back in the day when I first started wrestling. The Hardy Boys were trained here in Maryland at MCW.
All right.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yes, they were trained here, the Hardy Boys. Another gentleman that was in WWE a couple years ago, his name is Leo Rush. Young man. He still wrestles. He wrestles for AEW right now. Then there's been millions of young guys that I've wrestled with coming up from 99 that are there right now in WWE. I still have contact that I'm friends with that I've either been on shows or helped train some of them.
Look, they got Flair back in the ring. Are they going to get you back in the ring?
No. I don't think my boss would like that too much. You know, I'm done. I've had 4 knee surgeries. I'm good.
I was going to ask you.
Yes.
I was going to ask you. Give me the injury report for this because, like, it's like being an old football player. Yeah, it's wrestling. It's fake and all. Right. It's knee fake, pal. Come on, you know. So
it was. It's actually funny. 2006. It was a day after Christmas. We were doing MCW was doing a show. I was the heel. I was working an angle with a guy named Josh Daniels. I'm sure everybody knows who Chris Benoit is.
Mm-hmm.
This is his nephew.
Okay.
Same built, same chop, same everything. Trying to get him over as a baby face. The blow off was for a year. I've been ducking and dodging him, getting disqualified, doing this, doing that, so he couldn't take the title from me. Big blow off match. WWE scouts there that night.
All right.
And Michael's 8th Avenue down in Glen Burnie.
For you?
Yes.
All right.
Go out there. We start the match. I fake an injury. They had the medics come out, do all this stuff. The crowd claps. I'm on the stretcher. His back's turned. I jump off the stretcher, slide in the ring to hit him. And karma got me. When I landed, my whole leg went sideways. I blew every ligament out in my knee.
You got hurt for real.
Yes, I got hurt for
real.
So
what do you do in the ring when you get hurt for real?
I
take a fall and get the paramedics back in.
So
they were real paramedics.
Yes, I got on top of Josh and
you're making this up. This
no.
is your come
hand,
on. This
hand
is
of
not.
God. Hand of God. I get on Josh. Tell him roll.
Do
to
I
the,
look like a mark?
No, you don't look like a mark. But it's straight up. I got hurt. Karma got me. If people don't believe in karma, that was karma. I got on top of Josh, told him I'm really hurt, and he looks at me with this serious look, are you kidding? Woody whispers to me, I'm like, no, get out the ring. I stood up, and you can see my legs hanging in the video. I pop it back into place.
Pull up the clip.
How am I going to eat and eat after this?
Right. And,
suddenly, this crab cakes don't look as good.
Nah, I'm sorry. And, you know, I take 2 steps.
What year was this?
2006.
Oh, a long time ago.
Yes.
No, you haven't done this in a while.
On and off, I retired in 2014. Had surgery 2 months after that. Mind you, I went to work the next day after I went to the hospital. Worked for 2 months before I had surgery. Was out 8 weeks, came back to work.
What did Vito think of you wrestling? Because I can't imagine Vito Deanna from Mars.
They thought I was crazy.
No!
They thought I was crazy, you know, but... thing was, you know,
perfect for management.
Yeah. But in the, you know, I take what I did in that business and bring it into this business. It's all about people. That business is about people.
Sure, making them happy.
Making them happy, putting a smile on their face, and that's the same thing that I do as being a manager in this company, is putting a smile on people's face every day.
I forget that part of wrestling, you know, that yes. It really is about the people that it does make happy, it makes them very happy.
Yes.
And kids love it. And I think I know so many people that connect with their kids through wrestling.
I do.
And I shouldn't say I know so many people. My parents and I connected through wrestling.
Right.
So, like, when I was a kid, my mom loved baseball, but my dad and I would, you know, I grew up in Colgate. I'm in no secret, East Point Mall. We'd take the bus out to Orioles games. My mom might go to, like, one game a year.
Right.
Wrestling matches, mom, dad, and I. It was never just me and my mom. It was never just me and my dad. They
family.
Both loved wrestling.
Yes.
I loved wrestling. We did wrestling together.
That's awesome.
As a kid. And I wouldn't trade those memories. You know, I had a real tearjerker as a kid. One time I went to wrestling. My aunt in South Carolina. This is Abbeville, South Carolina. So you can Google that if you want. I was there a couple weeks ago. So I'm telling you the story because it's relevant. But
right.
Back in the 1970s, I would spend 2 weeks of summer in this little town called Abbeville, South Carolina. It's my mother's hometown. We take the Greyhound bus down there, and I'm talking like no girls, no fun, no people, little town square, me and my dad shooting hoops at this little civic center,
right.
Nothing to do. And I came home one day, and my favorite aunt, my Aunt Edna, long since gone, this is 1978. I came home and I was a newspaper junkie then. I always
right.
wanted to work for a newspaper. And I looked, there was an ad in the paper, and it was wrestling in the next town over, Greenwood,
wow.
South Carolina. And on that card was Ken Patera, Baron Von Rott, like a lot of stars, like
right.
a lot of stars. Blackjack Mulligan was
yes,
on that card.
I remember that name.
And they wrestled at a Class A baseball stadium in the summer at the pitcher's mound or at second base.
Like,
you know
right
what I mean?
Like,
right in the middle of the field. And I'm 9 years old. And my aunt drove me over to Greenwood for the matches. Got me a program. We met the wrestlers. I got
right.
autographs, the whole deal. What you're talking about, right? That kind of experience as a kid. And it's the only time I ever did anything like that. And all these years later, think of my Aunt Edna and think of her fudge and her fried chicken, which is pretty good. And I remember that experience. And about 5 years ago, I was talking wrestling with Luke and Dennis. We were doing a WrestleMania show because we do it every year. They get into WrestleMania, and I break out my old interviews with Bob Backlund, The Rock, Tony Garea. I had McMahon on. I did a Raw is War night when Mick Foley was warring with Steve Austin,
mm-hmm.
and they had the Steve Weisers, and he would bring the beer thing
the
out.
Beer truck the beer out, truck out. Spray people.
They did a Raw at the arena in 1998 or 99, and we set up live at the arena, and we went live that night for my show. And I mean, The Rock was on. Ray Lewis was there with The Rock because they knew each other. Ray
right.
wasn't even Ray was a it was a third year player. He wasn't
right.
like he wasn't a great player yet. So have all these wrestling stories, but my favorite wrestling story, other than the San Martino incident, is going to this wrestling match, and Chris Pica found the ad for me in that newspaper from 1978. So I actually have the card from the newspaper, and he sent it over to me, and it got me emotional, but I went to my mother's hometown for the first time in 30 years.
Wow.
About 6 weeks ago. It's for Sammy Hagar. He
yeah.
was playing in Greenville.
Right.
So I went down there, and I went to the old town, and I went looking for that stadium in Greenwood, South
Carolina.
Was
it still there?
Yeah, it's part of a community college now. The team's long gone.
Well, at least that building's still there.
Greenwood Braves. Well, it was on. I Googled it all. Stadium got destroyed in like the early 90s.
Right.
Like the name of the stadium's
yeah.
all. It's been gone for 20, 25 years, but the space is still there. And you can sort of see the field and where there was a baseball
right.
field and whatnot. But so, like, the lineage of wrestling for me, it's something that goes with you. What was your first wrestling match when you went to see real wrestlers?
First wrestling match was probably WCW down in Baltimore Arena.
Flair
was there. I think he was the champ. I think it was 95. I was 15 years old.
Was that Garvin? Who's he wrestling then?
I can't even remember. But
was that Four Horsemen?
There was Four Horsemen there. I think Barry Windham was there. It was him, Arn Anderson, and
Ole? No, Ole was gone.
Wasn't Ole. I want to say Mongo McMichaels.
Okay.
Was there. Was the Four Horsemen at the time. And this was like...
Woo!
This was the era.
Woo!
Woo! that's not the Horseman. That was Arn Anderson did that one.
That was the Down with the Horseman.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. That was the Down with the Horseman.
Right.
That was the other one.
Well, there were so many damn Four Horsemen at the time over the years, if you think about it. You had that one. You had the one with Chris Benoit was in it. Who else was
it? It was a brand.
It was. It was a brand. And he patented Woo.
Well, how many Samoans were there? You know what I mean?
There's still a lot coming.
Trying to figure who the executioners were. I know one was Killer Kowalski, I'm pretty sure. But
right, Samoan, just the bloodline just keeps going, you know?
Was Mil Máscaras always the same guy, or were there five of those?
There was five of
them. Yeah,
those.
I figured there probably were, right, yeah.
Yes.
Derek Frazier's here. We're talking professional wrestling. Yes. We're doing it in a supermarket during Wise Rewards. Right in the store. So this is the Crab Cake Tour. I'm going to take a break here, but I want to talk about these crab cakes, the signature crab cake that you do here, in addition to the stuffed shrimp, and they do these down at the Joppa Road location by my yoga studio. We used to call it the Barn down
there.
But they're delicious down there. Dundalk guy works the deli down there, so big appreciation to Bill and everybody. I'm going to keep you guys here another segment. John's here. Yep. He's from Vegas. How'd you get here? What's a nice guy like you doing in a place like this?
I decided to change it up. Lived there 27 years, said let's get a change of scenery.
How long you been here?
7 years now. Almost 8.
So when you're from Vegas, do you like adopt the Raiders because they moved there, or
the
Golden Knights?
No,
you don't do any
of that. If you're from Vegas, and if you didn't like the Raiders before and you like the Raiders now, you're not a real fan. I make fun of you.
What are you a fan of then when you're from Vegas?
You just pick a team.
Are you a Raven guy now because you're here, or no?
No. Hate to break it to you.
Look at that look.
It was a disgust.
You don't want to be associated with 11-3 team?
No, it's not disgust.
You don't want to be associated with the number
one
seed?
I have my team.
Who's your team?
And the Tennessee Titans. Because I watched them when they were the Oilers. I liked watching
You had
McNair
a team when you were a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to have a lot to talk about.
You just pick one.
It's amazing how he just stepped into my world by saying, I was an Oilers fan. He has no idea who he's speaking to. So you're going to learn in the next segment. Derek Frazier's here. He used to be a professional wrestler. Yeah. Now he's wrestling hams and turkeys back here for a Wise Rewards Week.
Yes.
We're going to talk about Wise Rewards. We're going to talk about this Wise and really the entire operation and why cinnamon ice cream this time of year is a necessity, and why that kielbasa and sauerkraut, it's gone now.
It's in your belly now.
Yeah.
And you probably one
he's,
second.
He's
right?
Eyeballing more. So
my wife's out of town, and there that's going to do a number on my intestines. But
it's good, though, right?
God, it's good.
You can't beat it.
Well, it's a cleansing holiday. What can I say?
There
you know, it's a time for atonement and for love. And Christmas is a time to say I love you. It's also a time to get out and use your Wise Reward points. Make sure you're getting a ham. I'm doing that on my app. Yep. This is like the fourth year in a row. Well, I ain't paying for my ham, which means I'm probably not paying for my split pea soup and the bean soup that my wife's going to be making next week. But we are celebrating the holidays here. We got poinsettias here. We got green bean casserole here. It's the most wonderful time of the year. They even have eggnog cookies here that I'm going to break into in the next segment. Derek's going to stick around. John from Vegas via the Houston Oilers. He has no idea why my pen is oiler blue and why my drinks are oiler blue and why I was just revolted and disgusted by the Oilers wearing those jerseys on Sunday or the Titans
well,
wearing
it's okay. It backfired because they lost, so.
And they deserved it. And I'm going to leave it at that, and we'll come back and we'll argue about whether Mike Renfro's foot was in. It was. About Dante Pastorini coming on this program often, which he does, because I'm like a bleeding heart old school Oiler fan.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing him wear it again, really weird, dude.
It's okay.
It was a little flashback to me.
We stole the Texans team, so it's okay.
I don't know anything about stealing.
Borrowed.
I know. Who knows?
We borrowed.
I don't think you guys know about
it. We borrowed the Browns. I ain't giving them back.
I don't know about that.
We're even.
Yeah. Right. It's even.
We're even.
Yeah.
Derek Frazier's here. John's here as well.
Yes.
John Sidway is here from Wise Markets. We are at Wise Markets store number
180.
180, which is Honey Go, as they call it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Perry Hall's that way. White Marsh is that way. Fullerton's that way. There is no Nottingham. We all know that, and I live there. We are WNST AM 1570. Back for more from Wise right after this.